in our own way and in the way that the Spirit leads us, that's how we all ought to feel about Christmas and the coming of the Lord. It ought to fill us with joy. It ought to fill us with rejoicing. And we should be unashamed to express that joy. Sermon scripture today comes from Proverbs chapter 25, and then a couple of scripture, well, one from Isaiah and one from Luke after that. Okay, just a couple of verses each one. Proverbs 25, 21 through 22 says this: if your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he's thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Isaiah 9, 6, the extremely well-known scripture that is quoted in the New Testament as well, but this was written hundreds of years before Christ came. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And Luke chapter 2, the 13th and 14th verses. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. These verses and the songs that we sang this morning and the skits that the kids did, we love them. We love singing them each year at this time. But let's be honest. Seemingly, those things present a problem. They present a problem. In the verse from Isaiah, the famous prophetic description of the Lord, written hundreds of years, as I said, before Jesus was born, one of the names given to Jesus is Prince of Peace. And while I believe that every word in the Bible is true, all it takes is a cursory look at the news, and you see there is no peace in the world. There has never been peace in the world. Peace in the sense of absence of war. Of the past 3,400 years, there has been no war in 268 of them, or 8% of recorded history. I read recently that there were a few days in 1997 and 1998 where there was no declared war. And that is the last time that there was no declared war, but there were certainly conflicts going on at the time, such as the persecution of Christians. So knowing that the Bible is true, what is meant by calling Jesus the Prince of Peace when there is no peace? And when the angels announced his birth, he was described as bringing peace on earth. What was meant by that? And what is meant by the saying in the other scripture, because I think this is important, I wanted to include it, about having peaceful relations with others, even our enemies. What's meant by the saying that we're to be unusually kind to them? And as we do that, we will heap burning coals upon their heads. What is that all about? The earth that Jesus came to was not a place of peace. I can remember being over in Jerusalem 6 or 7 years ago, and I saw signs around the city, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And the reason those signs were all over the city is because there was no peace. And there is no peace today in Israel or in Jerusalem. No, when Jesus came, he didn't come to a place of peace. There were greedy innkeepers and tax collectors and politicians. In Jerusalem, Herod was already plotting how to do away with the baby who was born king of the Jews. Not a world of peace he was born into, and it's still not a world of peace. So what did Jesus do? He came. He kept on loving. He kept exhibiting the peace of God. He and his parents had to flee to Egypt to avoid being killed, yet he kept on loving. almost certainly, we don't think about this because it's not strictly spelled out in the Bible, but I feel confident in saying, almost certainly because of the circumstances of his birth, he was made fun of, yet he kept on exhibiting the peace of God. His hometown, after he had come out and begun his ministry, his hometown of Nazareth, asked him, perform some miracles for us. They wanted that for entertainment. And then they tried to throw him off a cliff. But he kept on loving. And he kept on exhibiting the peace of God. He came into the world that he created. He came to a people that he created. And he was not welcomed. Sir Walter Scott tells the story of walking down a road one day and being followed by a stray dog. And he became annoyed after a while because the dog was still following him. So he picked up a rock and he threw it. And he didn't intend to hit the dog. He just wanted to kind of spook the dog. But instead, the rock that he threw hit the dog in the leg and broke its leg. And he expected the dog to retaliate and snarl at him. But instead, the dog wagged its tail and simply limped up to Scott and licked his hand. The Lord loved when his love wasn't returned. He exhibited the peace of God, although no one else around him did. Jesus said the kingdom of God, and this is what threw so many people. So many people said, he's coming, the Messiah is coming to establish a powerful kingdom that'll be number one in the world. And so many Israelites were looking forward to that. And he said, no. The kingdom of God that I came to bring this time is the kingdom that's within you. And the peace that I came to bring, it's the peace that comes from having peace with God. Someday the peace on earth, and boy, don't you long for this. Someday the peace on earth is going to find its ultimate fulfillment when Christ returns. But until that day, he offers you his peace, which will make the world around you a little more peaceful. To bring peace, we're to love those, even those who don't like us, in that sense, our enemies. The scripture that refers to loving and being kind to those that don't love you, and in so doing, you'll heap burning coals upon their head. I always took that to mean, well, you treat everybody the way you should treat them. You're kind to them no matter how they treat you. And in so doing that, the Lord will take note, and the Lord will add even more responsibility upon their head for not treating you the way that they should. That's how I always interpreted that scripture about the Lord will heap burning coals on their head. I never really understood that. And then I got an inkling of, I began to understand it a little bit differently. I like watching these shows where they plunk people down in the middle of nowhere and they expect them to find their way out, okay? And I've seen these shows where they're in the middle of the jungle or in the middle of the desert or in the middle of, I don't know, Antarctica or wherever it is. And the most precious thing that they take, that they have, is they will somehow come up with a fire. And then they will take the coals of that fire, the embers of that fire, and they'll take it with them. They'll take it with them wherever they go. Now, they'll keep it going as best they can so that when they camp out the next night or whatever, they've got a coal there that's ready to go. You see, back then, at that time and place, people carried everything on their heads. Food, drink, everything. You and I, we carry a bag in our hands or whatever. They carried it on top of their heads. They even carried pans of hot coals on their heads. Fire was essential for life. It kept you warm in the cold. It provided light at night. The only way to keep a fire going is to never let it go out. If your fire went out, the kindest thing a person could do was to give you coals from their fire. What the scripture is saying there is when your enemy's fire goes out, give them coals from your own fire. They can carry them home on their heads, and they can be warm, and they can cook their food, they can have light at night, and God will reward you for your kindness, and your enemy might even become your friend. And the world will be a little bit more peaceful. Our behavior is to be so different that the world will know, that the world will know that God has made a difference in our lives. How the world is crying out for peace today. How we in our individual lives need to have and exhibit the peace of God. And how folks around us need to see exhibited the peace of God. Folks, I cannot say this strongly enough. Bring the peace of God into your workplace. More than a paycheck, your coworkers need to see that peace. Kids, when you go to school, there are better than 50% of the youth in your schools who have nothing to do with any church, who don't really understand or know the story of Jesus, have never been taught it, and they cannot have his peace. They cannot have the peace of God without knowing Christ. And so you're going into, when you do the simple act of going to school, you're going into a mission field where kids need to see God's peace. And for many of you, you know this better than I could ever express. Many of you in your homes, many of you in your families, you know that your loved ones need the peace of God and how it needs to be continually exhibited around them. Let us be living representatives of the Lord. Let us exhibit the peace of God. Most of us are not called to go out and bring warring countries together and have them sign a peace accord or anything. And that's not what the Lord was talking about. Now he said, the peace I bring, the kingdom I bring is within you. Now as I said, make no mistake, when he comes back, oh, there's going to be peace. But there won't be peace until he comes back. But let us, folks, be living exhibitions of the peace of God. In the cold winter months of 1864... Union and Confederate forces were facing each other at Petersburg, Virginia, readying for battle. One of Robert E. Lee's generals, George Pickett, he received word that his wife had just given birth to a baby boy. The news spread up and down the Confederate lines, and soon the Southern soldiers were building bonfires to celebrate the event. Word of the fires reached General Grant on the Union side, and he sent out scouts to check things out because he was concerned the bonfires were some kind of a signal for an attack. And his scouts came back and told him that the fires were in celebration of General Pickett's new son. Well, it just so happened that Grant and Pickett knew each other well from their days at West Point. And so, despite the fact that they were on opposite sides of the conflict, Grant ordered bonfires built to honor the happy occasion. And so, for miles on both sides of the line, there were bonfires burning. There was peace to celebrate the birth of a child. The good news of Christmas is that long ago, light came into the world in the midst of great darkness. And that darkness has not and will not ever be able to overcome the light. Now, this Christmas, you've just seen the endearing skits and things put on by the kids. But if you don't have the peace of God within you, you're going to walk out of here essentially unchanged. And you're going to miss the meaning of Christmas. Today the Lord is offering you his peace. Do you have peace with God? You have peace with God by accepting what God did for you, the gift he sent you, his Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how you have peace with God. Do you have that peace? Do you have that peace with him? Stop and think about this. I told the first service, and this is true. Never in all my good grief, 60 years now. Man, I am so old. never in my 60 years. I say, we usually open our presents on Christmas Eve, have since I was a kid. I say, oh, I get more enjoyment out of watching others open up their gifts, and I get more out of seeing the joy in others than I get by receiving a gift. Okay. But I've never left a present under the tree with my name on it unopened. That's just not going to happen. I'm sorry, that's just not going to happen. God sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to save, heal, love, and forgive. If you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, you do not have the peace of God. You might have some temporary kind of little happiness because things are going okay in your life, but you do not have the peace of God and the peace with God. And that is the present, the gift that God is offering you today. And so I say to you, don't walk out of here without having peace with God. That gift that came to you at such a high price. If you feel a lack of peace, if you feel like the peace, perhaps you gave your heart to Christ at one point, but that light within you, that peace within you is flickering as other things have crowded in, and you need a renewal of his peace, the altar is open and the invitation is given today. I've received a lot of nice Christmas gifts over my decades on this earth. But the best gift I ever received, it didn't come at Christmas. It came in another time of year. It's when I said yes to the gift that God offered me, the gift of Jesus Christ. Do you have his peace this morning? The peace that passes all understanding. Not an absence of conflict, not an absence of difficulty and problems in your life, but do you have the peace of God? Do you have the peace with God? Today the altar is open, the invitation is given. I encourage you to come to the altar. Come to the altar. Come before these representations of these wonderful Christmas carols that we sing. But I promise you, when you sincerely accept Christ, you will walk out of here with peace in your heart and a lightness in your step. And that is the best gift of all. Don't, whatever that commercial used to be, I don't know, credit card or something, don't leave home without it. Don't leave here without his peace. The altar is open. Invitation given. Kurt, if you'd come and lead us in our closing hymn. The peace of God. Don't you want that? He's put within our heart a God-shaped space, a God-shaped hole. And that peace will never be there until we turn to Christ. Turn to Christ today and have that vacuum filled. And you will go out of here so much happier and joyful than you came in. The altar is open. Invitation given. Peace of God. The peace with God. That's what the angels were proclaiming. That's what the Prince of Peace came to bring. Receive his gift today. Receive the peace with God. It will never leave you. And you can have it for all of eternity. Because of what he did for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to understand, recognize, and accept the true meaning of Christmas and what you came to bring. Lord, it's all of our celebrations of Christmas, they are simply vague reminders of who you are and what you have done. And so, Lord, may we depart this place today with the joy of the Lord, the peace of God within us, and may we share that with whoever we encounter. And may we make this world a better place by sharing your peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We love you today. We praise you. And we give you glory as the angels did long ago. We give you glory in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.